ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः. Welcome everyone. Tonight we're talking about clearing the mist of ignorance because it seems to linger or keep coming back, that mist. And we welcome everyone online tonight who's joining us for the broadcast to participate by texting in messages or questions. You can text to 650-245-7018. That's 650-245-7018. The operators are standing by to take your calls. This clearing the mist of ignorance is a project for human beings who are no longer interested in making plans or adjustments to stay in the material world. And that's fortunate because there's every opportunity in the human life to be progressive in improving oneself. And there are literally millions of verses which speak to us about how to organize our lives in such a way that we can come closer to our highest interest, which is our relationship with Krishna. That relationship is eternal, it's never lost. Sanitya nitya sambandha prakritischa paraivasa. The living entity has an eternal kinship with the Lord. But somehow or other, it's become obscured, and we've fallen into the ocean of nations. And there is now every opportunity to come out of that nations by taking the rope, the instructions that are coming down to us from the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his representatives. So in the course of one's life, if one meets a bona fide spiritual master who is giving the knowledge that's coming down from Krishna, then one simply has to accept that and follow it, and one can immediately feel illumination in one's life. So we first offer our obeisances to His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who is very dear to Lord Krishna, having taken shelter at His lotus feet, and who is spreading Krishna consciousness all over the Western world. Paschatya Desha Tarane. He came to the West. Really needed it. Of course, everywhere needs it nowadays. And he didn't want us to miss this Kali Yuga. It's a special Kali Yuga. Practically, as Divyanga Prabhu was telling me on the way down here, it's a Prem Yuga. Because when people, even when the Satya Yuga starts, people lament that they missed this Kali Yuga because it's very special. Krishna comes once in a day of Brahma, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came just after Lord Krishna's appearance himself, as explained by Kaviraj Goswami, Anarpita Charim Chirat Karuni Yavatir Nakalo, that thinking people need an opportunity, they haven't received this kind of mercy in a long time, he comes to give the highest conception of love for God in the Kali Yuga, and interestingly enough, he's giving it to those with the least qualification. So it's the biggest opportunity in the universe. And Srila Prabhupada, one person, which this is amazing, that if one person is determined in their heart to do something, then it can change the whole world. And we were noting in this pastime of Dhruva Maharaj, who was just a five-year-old boy, that his level of determination was so great, he had a burning desire to take over a position better than his father, better than his grandfather, because he was spited by his mother-in-law and not allowed to sit on the lap of his father. So he went to his mother, and she told him, you'll have to get help from God. And he said, where to find God? He said, yogis go to the forest and they search him out in a solitary place. So he just marched off. at 5 years old, went into the forest, and his spiritual master, Narada Muni, met him on the way and asked him where he was going. He said he was on a mission to find God. He needed a kingdom better than his father's. And Narada Muni tried to talk him out of it and gave him some instructions about being equipoised towards other living beings. And Dhruva Maharaj said, "Thank you very much, but I can't take your instruction. I'm going anyway." And at that time, he had passed the test of his spiritual master, that he was so determined he was going to go. So once one of my godbrothers said, "If you need a spiritual master like Narada Muni, then you best have a determination like Dhruva Maharaj." And as Dhruva went about his austerities in the forest with such determination, he had an effect on the entire universe. And Srila Prabhupada notes that when one is focused in one's practice of spiritual life and has intense determination, then one can affect people all over the world with the goodwill of Krishna consciousness, one person. So Srila Prabhupada, Paschatya Desha Tarani, he is spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world. It sounds like an impossible task, but if we connect to Krishna through our sincerity and the intensity of our purpose and our practice to back it up, then Krishna will make every arrangement for us to fulfill our desires for pure devotional service, no doubt about it. Krishna's name is Vanchatita, which means he fulfills one's desires beyond what one can imagine. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. This material creation is called the Srishti Lila. The Lord is performing his pastime of creation here in the material world. And here we see Mahavishnu, and above him we see Lord Krishna appearing from the Goloka Vrindavan planet, the highest planet in the spiritual world. And we get a map of the entire creation and what's beyond the creation. In the Brahma Samhita, Goloka Namni Nija Damni Tale Tatasya Devi Mahesha Haridama Suteshu Teshu Te Te Prabhava Nichaya Vihitascha Yena Govinda Madi Purushamta Maham Bhajami. So lowest of all is located Devi Dham, the abode of Maya or Devi. And this is the world controlled by the three modes of material nature. Devi personified, Maya personified, rides on a tiger, and she carries a trident with three points, and she has 10 arms. And the living entity who is under the bewilderment of ahankar tries to enjoy the material world, and that living entity is being constantly jabbed by those three prongs of Maya Devi. And they represent adiatmic, adibhotic, and adidaivic miseries. So adiatmic means the miseries that come from my own mind and body. Any of those available these days? Body and mind can always come up with something. Of course, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, yukta hara viharasya yukta chaistasya karmasu yukta swapnavabodasya yogo bhavati dukaha, that if you're regulated in your habits of eating, sleeping, recreation and so forth, then you can diminish many of these miseries by living more in the mode of goodness. We bring many of these things on ourselves. However, it's inevitable that the mind being and body being technological instrument will bring some sort of weal and woe to the living entity. Adibhotic means from the environment. Other living entities actually cause us a grief or pain. And then there's adidaivak, which means the devas. Just the way the universe has its changes is disconcerting and very difficult to deal with. The earth is always shifting, especially here in California. The heat, the cold, everywhere people are battening down the hatches trying to protect themselves from the elements. I was just in Colorado, And after a severe winter, I can tell people are just starting to unfold, come out of their homes and everything, because it's biting cold there in the winter. And of course, it's scorching hot now too. And Brahma mentions this, that he feels compassion for those who are being tortured by all these changes in the material world, called adiatmic, adibhautik, and adidaivik klesha. Klesha means miseries. And that's Devi Dham. And there are various gradations even in Devi Dham, lower, middle, upper. But if you're in prison, whether you have iron chains on or silver chains or gold chains, chains are chains. And in the material world, we're chained by the three modes of material nature due to our own desire. So here's a picture of Mahavishnu. Universes are emanating from his pores. And it's described how, lying on the causal ocean, these universes come out when he exhales. Mahavishnu is so great that as he exhales, all the universes, trillions and trillions of universes, come out from his pores and his breathing. And then when he inhales, they all are wound back up in his body. And what we consider to be the length of the entire creation from beginning to end, which is how many trillion years? 320 trillion years only. That's one exhalation of Mahavishnu. And when he inhales, then all the living entities are wound back up in the body of Mahavishnu and stay there in a suspended state called susupti. They're still conscious living beings, but they're not even dreaming in that point, and then they have to wait to come back out again. And since a time immemorial, I've been involved in the Srishti Leela, that is, entangled in the material modes of nature. And there's a superior energy, parastasmatu bhavo nyo vyakto vyaktat sanatana, yaksak sarveshu bhuteshu nasyatsu navinashyati, Krishna says in the Gita. Besides this material nature, which is constantly changing and being created and recreated, there's this eternal spiritual world, which is never annihilated, even while everything else in this material world is annihilated. Parastasma tu pavonyo. Vyakto vyaktat sanatana. It's sanatana, it's eternal, and it's not subject to any kind of change. We like that. Everyone wants that here. Move to the suburbs, try to get a good place, hope it doesn't change, but it does. It either falls apart or you can't, you know, whatever. The material world's always shifting, so it's very disconcerting. The spiritual world's not disconcerting. It's full of bliss and knowledge and happiness. You can turn the AC on now if you want, if it's starting to get a little warm. Is it? Okay. A little more cool in the air. We paid our price over it. Bascom. We don't have to suffer anymore, I don't think. Then we should have our vision fixed on that eternal sky. How is it that one comes to accept something inferior? Through free will. The living entity has a free will. He can accept or reject what's offered to him. And you see the fork in the road. You have your choice, Krishna, or we have choice of Maya. And according to the Brahma Vaivarta Purana, that it's the beginning of our sojourn and involvement in the material nature. And this inferior energy is based on our choosing it ourselves through our free will. And that's what begins our life of struggle. Mamai vamsho jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana manak shashtan indriyani prakriti stani karshati. There's a kind of struggle going on after we choose the inferior Maya. There's a picture of Maya Devi herself riding on her tiger, 10 arms. And even if you happen to get away from one arm, there's 9 more she can pull back. So therefore, the Gita, Krishna says, Mama Maya Duratyaya. It's very difficult to overcome Maya, impossible for the tiny jiva. And then we have this description Krishna gives in the Bhagavad Gita, Tribhir Gunamayer Bhavir Ebe Sarva Midam Jagat Mohitam Nabijana Ti Mami Bhyaparamavyayam, that the living entity is controlled by the 3 modes of material nature. We have goodness, passion, and ignorance. Goodness, sattvagun, is the modality of clarity. Passion involves rigorous work and struggle to try to get ahead. And ignorance is inertia, or when bodies are at rest and tend to stay at rest in that position. Or we say the mode of darkness. When one is covered by such ignorance, one can't understand who one is or what one's purpose in life is. Mode of passion is great activity without a real meritorious result. But mode of goodness, one can actually have a productive life. However, they're all gunas or ropes, as we see the ropes holding on to the living entity there. And then there's the samsara, which means to flow from one body to the next. And one description I read by Prabhupada's godbrother, B.R. Sridhar Maharaj, who described this change of bodies. The biological body is burning up, he said. And it's like the fire of material existence is everywhere, but it's even in the body, 98.6. And when the body finally burns out, what do? We accept another body, another burning body. So what is that? He said, chain smoking. So you light a cigarette, it's a being finished at the end, you light the other one, you see people do this. The other one's almost out, so light the next one and start it. It's samsara. So the body's burning, but I'm so addicted to the petty material facilities that I'm getting here. To call them facilities really is a misnomer, because I'm not really being facilitated except in my illusory pleasures, which are really misery. But that matches smoking, doesn't it? Because as Prabhupada used to point out, cool cigarettes, he thought that was so interesting that people would smoke hot fire and then call it cool, advertising as cool. So this series of births and deaths that goes on in the material world is created by our consciousness, by the varied consciousness that we assume by our association life after life. Purusha prakriti stohi bhunkte prakriti jan gunan karanam gunasangosya sadasad yoni janmasu. Because of our association. And in the second chapter of the Gita, Krishna says, sangat sanjayate kama. This is very interesting that sangat is our association that makes who we are, or that gets us involved in things that we shouldn't be involved in. Sangat sanjayate kama. We take on desires, needless desires, useless desires by our association. If you associate with somebody who has petty, insane desires, then sooner or later you'll pick them up. And once on Venice Beach, when Prajapati Prabhu was asking Prabhupada how one could become more accomplished in devotional service and increase one's attachment and chanting, Prabhupada said, just see how a person becomes a drunkard and then follows that. That you may be a perfectly sober, healthy person, but then if you go and you associate with drunkards, you can go sit down and say, okay, how are you? I'm fine. How have you been? Go on, spend some time. And next thing you know, then they'll teach you how to drink alcohol, which is not recommended. You should never ingest something that you can ignite. And as you take it in and you realize the effects of it, and people develop a tolerance and they're able to maintain their life somehow or other, even taking in large amounts of alcohol. They'll fall on the ground, they'll wake up sick, but then somehow or other they keep going. So Prabhupada said, you'll learn how to do that. Sangat sanjayate, kama. You'll develop those same set of desires and values and habits by associating with drunkards. So he said, in the same way, if you associate with devotees who have a particularly strong desire for devotional service and are attached to chanting, then you'll assume those habits and desires and values as well. And Prajapati Prabhu said, Prabhupada, you want us to become drunkards on the holy name? And Prabhupada said, yes. So there is a way out of this quagmire of the material nature. And normally in the course of one's sojourn in the material nature, one's in complete ignorance and doesn't have an inkling for spiritual life. And therefore, Shastra describes how, there it goes, how Agyata Sukriti is the beginning of one's spiritual life. Agyata means without knowledge. Gya means to know, to be conscious. Agyata means without knowledge. And Sukriti means to do something that is spiritually meritorious. So why do we have a little mouse standing by a flame? This is a story from the Kartik Mahatmya, in which Kartik, I'll explain for those of you who have never heard of Kartik before, it's a special month, a holy month that comes up. This year it's going to start around October 15th and go to November 15th. And during that month, when one performs spiritual activities, bhakti, there's an augmented effect. And one of the recommended processes, recommended by Krishna, recommended by the Shastras, every day to offer a lamp to the Lord. It's a very simple practice, but it's very sweet. And every night or morning, whenever one can, the devotees come together and they have a little ceremony where they offer a light to Krishna. A little ghee lamp. You light it with a match and it has a little wick and you can offer it to the Lord. In Vrindavan, where thousands of people congregate for Kartik season, there are thousands and thousands of people in the evening time in the Krishna Balaram Mandir who come in to offer a lamp. You can barely move in there and they pass out thousands of those lamps and you can offer. But it's very nice because Krishna is so easily pleased just by offering a lamp. He becomes satisfied. So sometimes mice, little mice, they live around the altar place because they can find little remnants of flowers or sometimes little prasadam left behind. And in this case, this mouse was living off of the ghee. And you may, ghee wicks, you take cotton and you soak them in ghee, which is clarified butter. Then you can light them and it makes a nice lamp. So sometimes they don't burn all the way down and they get thrown to the side. And the little mouse was making his living off of these by going and nibbling on them and drinking the ghee. In fact, he was getting nice and fat. And one day during Kartik, he came out of his little hole and he saw that there was a ghee lamp, but it wasn't all the way burned yet. And it still had a little spark, but he was so hungry, he started to nibble away. And as he nibbled, it shook the ghee lamp a little bit, and the flame started up again. And just as it started up, he realized that it was stuck to his tooth, and he couldn't get it off. So the mouse started jumping, and he was right in front of the altar where Lord Narayan was standing. And with the burning ghee wick in his mouth, he jumped up and down. And Lord Narayan took it that it's Kartik season and he's offering me a lamp. So the Shastra says definitively that in his next life he got a very exalted position in devotional service and was able to attain the perfection of life. So this is a case of Agyata Sukriti. Little mouse offering ghee lamp. He wasn't intending to, but somehow Krishna took it as an act of devotion and he was benefited. Here we see one of the young devotees offering a Srimad Bhagavatam or a Bhagavad Gita to some person who was walking down the street minding her own business. She wasn't thinking about buying a Bhagavad Gita that day. But this young person offered her the book, and whether she took it or not, there was some exchange there. The person might have seen a picture of Krishna on the book, or maybe she took the book and gave a donation. Whatever way, there was a beginning to her spiritual life. This Agyata Sukriti. She was not fully aware of what was going on. She simply accepted it. It was circumstantial. But that creates a credit, that Agyata Sukriti. And that credit is permanent. It never goes away. When one makes 1% advancement in devotional service, knowingly or unknowingly, then one has that permanent credit. And as that credit grows, one gains faith in devotional service. Shraddha is born. The idea that I would like to associate with devotees. So, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu brought to the world the process of chanting the holy names of the Lord. And there's a great science behind it, that the name of God and God Himself are non-different. And there's unlimited benefits from chanting the holy names. For instance, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his Shikshastakam says, Cheto Darpana Marjanam, that when you chant Hare Krishna, it cleanses the mirror of the heart or the consciousness just by chanting. Bhavan Mahadavagni Nirvapam means that one gets relief from the burning of material nature. We're being burned at every step by the very nature of this world and our incompatibility with it. Sarvatma Snapanam. Bhava Maha Dhavagni Nirvapanam, it extinguishes the forest fire of material existence. Shreya Kairava Chandrika Vitaranam. This is very beautiful. That the chanting of Hare Krishna, this Nam Sankirtan, and the practice of chanting Krishna's names, it opens the white lotus of good fortune. Sounds good, doesn't it? The white lotus opens at night. Most lotuses open in the daytime by the heat of the sun. But the white lotus opens in the moonshine at night. So this is applicable to Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga is like night. There's no apparent spiritual light in this age. But by chanting Hare Krishna, all of one's good fortune manifests, just like the white lotus opens in the darkest night. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda are described in the beginning of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Vande Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Nityanando Sahodito, Godudai Pushpavanto, Chitro Shando Tamo Nudao. That Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna himself, and Lord Nityananda, who is Lord Balaram, have appeared simultaneously on the horizon of Godadesh, it's a place in Bengal, to, just like the sun and the moon arising simultaneously, imagine if they came up at the same time, to wonderfully bestow benediction upon all. So they brought with them, especially, the chanting of the holy names of Krishna. Shaira Kayarava Chandrika Vitaranam. Vidya Vidu Jivanam. Just by chanting, you get spiritual knowledge. It's a concomitant factor. Vidya Vidu Jivanam. Then? Anandam Buddhivardhanam. One's pleasure increases. As we progress in spiritual life, and especially in this sadhana, the practice of chanting, there's a progression from taking it like medicine to taking it like food, or actually enjoying it in such an intense way that one may wish to never stop. And Rupa Goswami describes this in his Nectar of Instruction, called the Upadeshamrita, which is the concise instructions about how to advance in bhakti. And he gives two very important verses. One is, Syat Krishna Nama Charitari Sitapta Vidya Pitopatapta Rasanasya Narochikan Kintva Varad Anudilam Kalusayva Jushta Svadvikramad Bhavati Tad Garamula Hantri. And that is that in the beginning, as one chants the holy name of the Lord, it may be bitter. Just as when one has jaundice, a disease which is created by bilious secretion from the liver. The liver becomes affected by jaundice, and it puts out too much bile. And then everything tastes bitter. So in the same way, Rupa Goswami says, my tongue, when it's afflicted by avidya, avidya gets in all our senses and it affects the way we perceive the world. And when we chant Krishna's sweet name, it tastes bitter. Now here's the interesting part of the analogy, that the curative for jaundice is sugarcane juice. Now when you're sick with jaundice and you take sugarcane juice, it tastes terrible. It almost makes you want to gag because it tastes so bitter. But as you continue to take it, the disease subsides, and gradually, day by day, you taste the sweetness of the sugarcane juice because your disease is being cured. So in the same way, as one begins the chanting of Hare Krishna under the influence of avidya, it seems abhorrent to chant. And it doesn't taste good. And the mind says there's a million other things that I could be doing besides this. But as one continues to take the medicine, just like the doctor tells you to take the medicine, and he or she says, take the whole thing, don't stop halfway through, right? Do you ever get that instruction? Yeah, so you have to take the whole course, and you have to keep chanting. And even if you feel like you're offensive, the Shastra says that you should continue to chant. You should chant continuously. Keep taking more and more medicine. This is the cure. Believe it. Believe it. Believe the doctor. If you go to a doctor and you're not really sure, did this guy really graduate? Did he really go to medical school? Where's your diploma anyway? You'll be a little hesitant to take the medicine. But if you have faith that it's coming from an authorized doctor and he knows what he's talking about, sometimes you meet a doctor, they just know what they're talking about. I once had some ailment, and I kept going to more and more doctors, and they kept saying, oh, I don't know what it is, try this, try that, we're not sure. And I met this one old guy at Kaiser, and I told him what it was, and he goes, I know exactly what it is, and I can fix it right away. I said, how are you so sure? Everyone else wasn't sure. And he goes, oh, I just know, you know. And sure enough, he cured me within a couple days. I was good as new. I referred one of my friends to him, but he had already retired. It was like his last week there or something. I was so lucky to have found him. But I was just thinking, when a doctor knows what they're talking about, they just know, and they can do it. You can go through a lot of these speculative ideas. So if you're positive it's coming from the right source and it's actually the cure, and that you should be positive of. You should make yourself sure. Because then when the mind comes knocking and says, let's go do something else, your intelligence can override that nagging of the mind that says, let's go play. You know what? If I had listened to my mother so many times when she told me to practice this or practice that, if I could just stuck with that instead of going to play, there was a wealth of things I would have learned. And now, thinking back like that, if you're able to take the instruction of Krishna and fortify your intelligence and take the practice of the chanting of the holy name, and don't let the little, the mind's like a little kid, just wants to get up and run everywhere and do nothing and write on the walls or do whatever it does, but don't let it go. Let your intelligence take charge, at least for your sadhana period. At least for your sadhana period, whatever you choose, whether it's half an hour, 2 hours, 5 hours, all day long. Fortify your intelligence from the Shastra, from Guru, from Sadhu, and then conquer the lower self by the higher self, but take the medicine, even if you can't taste the sweetness of it at first. And that's what brings you to the next stage, in which Rupa Goswami gives Tanam rupa chaditari sukirtananu smrityo kramena rasanam anasinioja. Tishtan vraje tananuragi jananugami kalam nayat akilamitu padesha saram. How much do I like that verse? I say it practically every class. It just, he says, here's the essence of all advice. Organize your full time, 24 hours a day, in nicely hearing, chanting, remembering, and performing all the activities of devotional service. And in this way, you'll come to live in Vrindavan, Tishtan Raje Tananuragi, Jananugami. Kramena also, it means step by step, you'll realize the higher and higher stages of devotional service by Krishna's mercy. If you just, this is your part. This is what you have to do. You have to discipline yourself to take advantage of these sadhana periods when you can sit down, struggle with the mind, fight it, and keep on with your practice no matter what else happens. Don't compromise. If you don't compromise when you're practicing in sports, in music, in anything else, you'll become a champion. Just don't compromise. Be serious. And it's the same thing in our practice of chanting and in bhakti. Don't compromise. Make a stand on this one point. And kramena, step by step, by the hearing process, one will realize by the mercy of Krishna, the higher and higher stages of devotional service, and will transcend the material world, will come to the perfectional stage. So now the science of the holy name. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains all these benefits. And then he says, Nam Nam Akari Bahuna Nija Sarva Shaktis. All of God's potencies are there within his personal names. All his personal potencies are there within his names. And there are, God has many names, unlimited types of names. But in the description of the various names given by Haridas Thakur, there are primary names and secondary names. So primary names mean names which are by which Krishna is addressed by his devotees. That means those who love him. And those names are more special than other names that have to do with Krishna's material creation lila, the Srishti lila. Like what? Narayan's Vaikuntha, okay, Mahavishnu, or Jagadishwar, huh? Shirdakshai Vishnu. Jananivas is a kind of sweet name because it means Krishna's walking amongst the people. Jaiti Jananivaso, Devaki Janmabhado. Jagadishwar, Paramatma. Paramatma is an expansion of Krishna. He comes into every atom and everyone's heart. And that name is related to his Srishti Lila. But his personal names, Govinda, Madhava, Gopal, Keshava, Gopinath, Yashoda Nandan. Krishna is the son of Yashoda. And how could Krishna be somebody's son? He's God. But he has this relationship. He's not God. He's actually the son of Yashoda. And it's very sweet. So you have many names. You have your business name that they call you at work. Maybe they call you by your last name or something like that. Mr. What? Mr. Anybody have a last name here? Mr. Gupta? Yes, Mr. Gupta. Very well, Mr. Gupta. But then when Mr. Gupta goes home, his family, his kids call him what? Hey, Daddy. And then his wife calls him what?
Hey.
Hey? Well, hey is kind of intimate. You know, it's like, hey, you don't say that to your boss or to the... But there may be nicknames at home, right? So at home, he may be called what? Anybody here have a nickname? You wish to share? Yes? Ginny? Okay, Vrindavan's name is Ginny. So Ginny, he's known as Vrindavan, but Ginny, so if you were walking through New York City and somebody yelled out from the top window, he said, hey, Ginny, you'd think, they know me. They know something about me. They're close to me because they know that intimate name. These are the primary names. So when we say that these intimate names of God, it's interesting to Krishna. It's interesting to you. It's interesting to Krishna that when you hear your intimate name, you think, how'd you know that? Who is that? That's somebody connected to me. How do you know who I am through my name? Nam nam akari bahuda anija sarva shaktis. All his personal powers, potencies are there. And we find that connection in the name. This is the whole philosophy, that we connect to God through his name. So we get these names. But then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Durdaiva midrishami hajani nadraga. I'm unfortunate that I don't have any attraction for these names. And in explaining the power of the holy name, Haridas Thakur tells Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that there are different ways in which one can chant the name unknowingly or casually. And this first, we have a sanketa, unintentional name, and the example is unintentionally chanting the holy name, Ajamil. This is called Nam Abhas. So Abhas means there's a reflection, or just the light that comes from the sun when it's just coming up in the morning, when you can't see the sun, but you can just start to see the dim light. This is Abhas. And before you actually see Krishna in his name, you'll experience the effects of the light coming from the name. So in this picture, we see the Yamadutas and the Vishnudutas hovering over the bed of Ajamil. Ajamil was a dutiful young Brahmin dedicated to piety and karmakanda practice. And as he was growing up very dutifully, he fell away from his practice. He saw a young man and woman embracing in the marketplace, which was very rare at the time. And somehow it stuck in his mind, and he became overcome by that. And then he lost his bearings, and he lived a life that was completely unconnected to any spiritual practice or any regulation whatsoever. I won't go into the details right now, but he became wholly corrupted, as one might say. And then, in the process of having many, many children, not by his legitimate wife, but somebody he had taken on, he named one of his sons Narayan, which is the name of God. And he didn't do it intentionally, he just did it because of past habit, and then he used to call his son, Narayan, 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 please come and eat, Narayan, please come take rest. And as he was doing so, unconsciously, he was chanting the name of God. And therefore, he was getting so much benefit. And as he was about to die, because he became an old man, he became afraid because the Yamadutas, who are messengers of Yamaraj, who's the Lord of Death, were coming to snatch him out of his body and take him back to Yamaloka for punishment. And he called out to his son, Narayan, out of a sense of fear. And at that exact moment, the Vishnudutas, you see, who are full of light, carrying this sword. Is that a sword? Yeah, they showed up just in the nick of time to save Ajamil from being snatched from his body. And what ensued was a great debate. The Yamadutas said, we have every right to take this person. He's completely sinful. And the Vishnudutas say, you don't know anything about dharma, because actually, just by chanting one time the name of God in this mode of helplessness, he's cleared all his sins. And therefore, he belongs to us, not to you. So you get the force of darkness and light here. And Ajamil was an interesting situation. He was able to hear the whole conversation between the two. And after the Yamadutas gave up, the Vishnudutas were still there, and Ajamil came forward to appreciate them, and they disappeared. And Ajamil dutifully went to a place of pilgrimage and performed more tapasya and became ready to go back to Godhead, and he did. In the process, he was fully aware and conscious of what had gone wrong with his life, and he fully applied himself to spiritual life. This is a case of namabhas, when one chants the holy name unintentionally, and the result is so powerful. So this sanketa means unintentionally chanting. And then, of course, we have the story of Valmiki Muni, who was a hunter and engaged in all kinds of sinful activities. Not so easy to get out of. One may say, well, I'll just reform myself. Good luck. It takes a long time. I mean, improving oneself in spiritual life generally is incremental. And if you see somebody make a big jump all of a sudden, they've probably done a lot of work in the past, and that work is catching up to them. But generally, we see step by step, hard-won inches in spiritual life. Don't take for granted any little victory you make. Every time you're able to conquer the lower self by the higher self and use your free will to choose to move ahead in devotional service in a practical way is a great victory, and it goes to your eternal credit. And it's not that we have a lot of time. We have a human form of life. We're not guaranteed 100 years. It doesn't look like people are living that long. And at any time, because of the way people drive these days, you can crash and die, and many people do on the freeway. It's very dangerous. And the kinds of chemicals that are floating around in the air net right now can just get in one of the cells and create havoc in your body. So don't think that I've got a lot of time to do this. You've got incremental improvements to make and not a lot of time, so don't mess around. That's one thing. And so, anyway. Yes, Srivas Pandit Prabhu. And if you're at home watching this program and you'd like to text in, the number is 650-245-7018. The operators are standing by to take your calls right now. Shivas.
Prabhuji, you made a very beautiful point about celebrating small victories in spiritual life. My question is, for example, this is the case. You've been sober for an year. Let's celebrate by having some drinks. How do you avoid that kind of traps which mind sets by...
Well, don't celebrate like that. That's not what I meant. I understand what you're saying, relapsing, you know, in a big way. Well, you have to tie in your victories and make sure that, as we discussed before, you should be humble and careful. These two things. Always have humility. Don't think you're above falling down. Because the minute you start thinking, I can't fall down, you're going to slip. Pride comes before the fall. And this idea, leave that little area open so people can get into Prabhupada's Vyasaya, and you can come up front, if you like, this area here. So be humble. This humility protects us. Be very humble. Think, I'm already so fallen. Keep yourself down. In Japan, there's a saying that the nail that sticks up gets hammered down. And the second thing is, you should be careful. Be careful. That's part of humility. If you're not humble and you think, I'm good. You know, I've made so much advancement, I can mess around. I can look here, I can look there, I can do whatever I want. Then you'll fall down. But so you should be humble, and you should be very careful. Be careful like a neophyte would be careful. Be careful like somebody who's realizes they're in a precarious situation should be careful. And even if you don't need to be careful, you should be careful just to set an example for others. So humility and carefulness are very helpful in not falling down from one's exalted position. And it is a regulative principle that one should not fall down. We read this in the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's a regulative principle that one should not fall down from one's exalted position. So don't do it. The number to call in, 650-245-7018. The operators are standing by to take your calls right at this very minute. Okay, your comment from the internet. Okay, we have a text that's come in.
Yeah, so we have Prabhash Prabhu from Sacramento.
Prabhash, Haribo.
Yeah, so he says he's enjoying your lecture and he wants to convey his Dandavat pranams to you.
Hare Krishna, Prabhash. Thank you very much. So nice to have you here. Look at this. This is Valmiki Muni, who was so sinful. That's how I got off on this track. That he felt that he couldn't chant the holy names. Narada Muni, his spiritual master, advised him, chant the names of God. Too sinful, can't do it. He said, chant the names of death. So he tricked him. to do this namabhas. So here he is chanting Mara 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 Mara. It sounds like Ram. It becomes Ram because it's continuous syllables. Now there's a candy bar called Snickers. Have you ever heard of it? That's not good. Okay, so say Snickers, Snickers. Say it 8 times. Go. Snickers, 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 Snickers. I can't do it 8 times without saying Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. So if you meet somebody on the street, they won't chant Krishna. Tell them to chant Snicker bar 8 times. In any case, if someone chants unintentionally, like Valmiki Muni, he went on chanting Mara, 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 but he was chanting Ram, he was liberated by the power of the holy name. So this is another example of Sanketa. And then we have Prabhas, or saying the name in ridicule, ridiculing the devotees by saying, hey, Hare Krishna. Well, how come you don't have any hair, Hare Krishna? People used to say that all the time. Where's your hair, Hare? Hey, Hare Krishna. And they go on and on with all kinds of name-calling or, in jest. And I saw the other day, we were in Boulder, Colorado over the weekend, and we had a beautiful chanting party up on the lawn, and then we were distributing books in the mall area. Boulder, Colorado, it's called 24 Square Miles Surrounded by Reality. It's a very interesting place, very opulent. It's kind of like Santa Cruz, only a little more in the mode of goodness and a little more opulent. And a lot of yogis in their last life took birth there. It's an interesting place. But I saw people walking by, hearing the Hari Nam, and sort of imitating, going, Hare Krishna, because it's an attractive name and it's sort of an interesting thing to do in jest. So this is a kind of namabhas. The person who's chanting like this, they may think, ha, 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 I'm making fun. But actually, what they're doing is they're getting this sukriti, or this spiritual credit, just from chanting in jest. And then we have stoba derisively. There's a picture here of Shishupal, who when he was born, and he was just a baby, and began to babble, his first words were blasphemy of Krishna. You know how some babies, they start saying, mommy, daddy, whatever. But his first words were whatever he could say that was nasty about Krishna, because he was an archenemy. But because of that, Shastra says, just even saying derisively, he was achieving the benefit. Jayanama deha muni vrinde geya he janaranjanaya paramakshara krite tvamarad anad Api managur diritam nikilogratapa patalim valumpasi. Just even neglectfully or derisively, if one time says, Hare Krishna, you rascal Hare Krishna. That Prabhupada even mentioned like that. He said, if people see you out in public and they say, oh, there's that rascal Hare Krishna again. Just by thinking Hare Krishna, they get the benefit of namabhas. Pretty good, right? And then here it is, Hela, neglectfully. Someone may say neglectfully the name of Krishna. They just rolls off their tongue. They get the namabhas. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu expressed this sentiment that is the beginning of real traction in spiritual life. Oh my Lord, I'm your eternal servant, but somehow or other I've fallen into this ocean of the material world. Please pick me up and fix me as a particle of dust at your lotus feet. This kind of a sentiment comes into the heart of somebody who somehow or other has accumulated this Agyata Sukriti, who has chanted the name accidentally, neglectfully, derisively, one way or another, and they've gotten this a special benediction from the holy name of the Lord. And when one makes this prayer, please come and pick me up, then Krishna is right there, ready to come and save the soul from the ocean of the material existence. So we have this description by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that when we're wandering in the material world, and somehow or other, we get this good fortune. He says, Brahmanda Brahmate Kon Bhagyavan Jeev, Guru Krishna Prasadi Pai Bhakti Lata Beej. That By the mercy of the guru, one gets Krishna. By the mercy of Krishna, one gets the guru, or vice versa. But by some good fortune, by meeting a devotee, by agyata sukriti, unknown devotional service, one then gets the opportunity to come in contact with guru and Krishna. This is a nice picture because it shows Krishna, who is in the forest, and then he was met by Maitreya, who happened to be walking along, and he saw Krishna speaking to Uddhava. And Maitreya had no idea Krishna was there. He was just wandering through the forest, and how would you like that? You're going through the forest, and you meet Krishna's there talking to Uddhava. Then you'd want to stop and listen, right? And he did. And Prabhupada mentions that this kind of good fortune can only come from agyata sukriti, that Maitreya somehow or other had some good fortune ready to fructify, and it did. And he was able to come and sit there. So he had Krishna, and Guru was there at the same time. Uddhava is the guru of the Vaishnavas. And he also became the guru of Vidura, did Maitreya, after hearing these conversations. So I like this picture because it just shows how by Krishna's arrangement, we come in contact with our guardians, those who will help us to go back home, back to Godhead. With that sincerity in our heart, with some good fortune that we're able to pray, please save me from this ocean of material birth and death, then Krishna comes. He'll swoop down to pick us up. And Sri Uddhava, in his prayers to Krishna, says that who can express enough gratitude to you, Krishna, that from within, as the super soul, you're giving instruction, from without, as the spiritual master, you're guiding me. And in every way, you're showing me your own path back home, back to Godhead. You're so kind. So it's a great event when actually one comes in contact with Guru and then meets the process of devotional service, meets Krishna in his name, in his deity form, in the form of Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and then gradually, step by step, one comes to know that I'm the eternal servant of Krishna, progressive path back home, back to Godhead. It's a very happy occasion. And this process of Sankirtan, going out and chanting Hare Krishna, imagine what effect that's having when people are hearing the holy name. Even though they're not really paying attention, they're not perhaps taking it seriously. I see sometimes when we're in in Palo Alto, near Stanford, chanting the holy name, sometimes people walk by and they intentionally ignore everything, like there's nothing happening here. There can be devotees jumping, spinning, signs everywhere, and they walk by like there's nothing here. They still hear the name. They still get the effect. And Harinath Thakur says, even the living entities in the bodies of trees and insects, they're getting that vibration, and they're getting eternal benefit for that. And from that, one comes to this very fortunate position of meeting Guru and then Krishna. And then one comes to take this Sambandha Gyan. And this is very important in the cultivation of chanting Hare Krishna, that one must hear regularly the instructions given from the Shastra, given from the Guru, about one's relationship with Krishna and our relationship with the material world, or I should say non-relationship with the material world. It's a very temporary and distressing kind of relationship I have with the material world, but the Shastra says, Asango Hyayam Purushaha. You have no real connection to this world. Your only connection is due to your attachment to it. And by hearing systematically about how I don't belong in this material nature, how my real relationship is with Krishna, I gain more and more faith in the process of chanting Hare Krishna. And I care less and less for making or putting my energy into adjusting my situation in the material world. I put less and less into adjusting my situation in the material world. You have to have some situation in the material world. You're already in here. You have a biological body to take care of. And you have to do something to take care of it. But you don't have to go out of your way to, and you don't have to extend yourself in ways that distract you from your core practice of spiritual life. This is the secret. Krishna provides everything. If you simply invest the lion's share of your time, or whatever you can afford, you put with full sincerity, whatever position in your life, point in your life you can, into sincerely cultivating Krishna consciousness, then more and more Krishna will change the equation and give you more and more facility. So this sambandha gyan is very important. Sambandha means the relationship, and gyan means knowledge. So every day we have to hear about our relationship with Krishna and revisit that. And then we see this Shraddha Namabhas. We heard about Namabhas when one is chanting incidentally. In fact, are you getting cold? Are you sure? A little icy in here now. If we chant unintentionally, derisively, out of ridicule, neglectfully, and so forth, these are kinds of namabhas. There's an effect from the powerful effect from the holy name just by saying it like that. And then that's low-level namabhas, where you're getting the light of the holy name, but very faintly. Even that has a powerful effect. It liberates a person. It frees them from many sinful activities and sinful reactions, I should say. But then there's a high level of namabhas, which is called Shraddha Namabhas, which is shown here. This is the disciple of Haridas Thakur. She had been a prostitute sent by a government official to try to corrupt Haridas Thakur, and she stayed several nights at his place, or kept coming back in successive nights, trying to attract him and make him look bad, and then they were going to arrest him. But every night he said, "Sorry, I haven't finished my chanting. I have to keep chanting." And he chanted all night long. And she sat there and listened. And after several nights, she became so affected by the chanting of Haridas Thakur, who was chanting in pure love of God, that she said, "I'm a fallen person. I came here to corrupt you." And he said, "Oh, I know. But I wanted you to hear the holy name." And so she said, "I surrender. I want to be a devotee." So he said, "Okay, go set yourself up in front of Tulsi and shave your head. Take, you know," she took initiation, and she sat down and she spent her life chanting as a disciple of Haridas Thakur. So she had taken initiation. She had also dedicated her life to the chanting with full faith. Now, this is Shraddha Namabhas. You may not have taste, but if you have faith that Krishna and his name are non-different, and you dedicate yourself to it as the focal point of your life, that I'm going to make this my most important practice in the day, to finish my chanting with full attention and gusto, no matter what the circumstances are in my life. This kind of Shraddha Namabhas, Haridas Thakur says, will lead to pure chanting. In other words, you'll definitely attain success. Guaranteed. Go on doing it. And you'll come to this point of Shuddhanam, or experiencing the pure name. We gave the verse the other day, Tunde Tandavali Ratim Vitanute Tundavali Labde Karna Krodha Kadambani Katayate Karnar Budebya Spriham Chaita Prangana Sangani Vijayate Karnar Budebya Saravendriyanam Kritim No Jani Janita Kriyad Biramritai Krishneti Varna Twayi. I don't know how much nectar these two syllables Krishna has produced, says Rupa Goswami. So when I chant the name in my mouth, I desire many, many mouths. When it enters my ears, I want many, many millions of ears to catch the name. And when it dances in the courtyard of my heart, my senses are conquered. They become inert. So this Shuddhanam is the highest perfection in devotional service, overcome the offenses in chanting, to continue chanting even when we don't feel like it, take it as medicine, to continue and then to begin to experience the real taste of the name and come to this pure chanting when Krishna fully appears in his name, his form, his qualities, his pastimes, everything fully there in the name, and one develops a loving relationship with Krishna. And this is all possible by the chanting the holy names of Krishna. And there's this Krishna prema, when one actually is completely absorbed in love for Krishna. And all these stages of development are described in meticulous detail in the Nectar of Devotion, the Madhuri Kadambini, and many other shastras. This is Dhruva Maharaj, by the way, with Prishni Garba, being benedicted by the conch shell, which the Lord is touching to his head. So there's no difference between Krishna and his name, and by chanting the name, one will come to see Krishna face to face. Hare Krishna. So here it is, misuse of free will. This is the world champion hot dog eater. There is a sport in America, or a worldwide sport, it's an international sport of eating. Who can eat the fastest and the most? And what a lot of them eat hot dogs. It's one of the big contests. So he happens to be from Japan. I'm sorry to pick on him, but, you know, he's asked for it, I guess, in some ways. To be they cram as many hot dogs as possible in their mouth and into their stomach as possible within a matter of 5 minutes or whatever it is. I'm not up on the sport, really. I just know a little bit about it. I just picked him as a nice example of misuse of free will. That living entity, as we're going back to the original cause of one's disconnect with Krishna, of losing one's relationship with Krishna, is ignorance. We have a choice always to come to Krishna or to ignore Krishna. And in the beginning, there's ignoring Krishna, which leads to, we call ignorance. And ignorance is ignorance. Uh-oh. I think my battery just died. Because the little soul was about to fall down, but he didn't. I guess saved by the technology, huh? There it is. Okay. What happened? Okay, little Jiva. Yeah, just push an arrow. An arrow at the bottom. Arrow. Try that. How interesting. That's never happened before. Okay, just give me the whole thing. Oh, you can't. That's all right. We're wound up in technology here today. Okay, let's see if we can make the little jiva fall into ignorance. Ignoring Krishna. And then you have ignorance, which also means ignorance. So this is the root cause according to the Shastra. Bhayam dvitiya abhinibheshita syad ishad apetasya viparya yosmiti. One turns one's head away from Krishna. And then from that come material desires and one's involvement in karma, the material world. And you see the progressive decline into the lower regions. And then to remedy, there's various stages which are recommended, like karma yoga, which deals with activity in connecting our activities to Krishna, and stepping above into jnana yoga, using one's mind and intelligence to speculate about the absolute truth. Dhyan yoga, rather mechanical process for fixing one's mind on the Lord within the heart. But none of these actually solve the original problem, which is ignorance, which is fully rectified through the process of bhakti. And bhakti means to turn one's attention fully towards Krishna. Ananya cheta satatam yomam smariti nityashaha tasya ham sulabha partha nitya yuktasya yogina. Krishna says, if you just, with full attention, full devotion, give your consciousness to me, then easily delivered from the material world. Not a problem. Well, yogis, he mentions in the 8th chapter of the Gita, are trying all kinds of mechanical means to get themselves out of jail. But they fall back down again into the material world. It's not a permanent situation. The only permanent situation mentioned from the Srimad Bhagavatam, yene ravindaksha vimuktamaninas toyasta bhavada shudha pudeya aruya krishna paramparam tata patantyato nadrita yushmarangraya. If one reconnects with the lotus-eyed personality of Godhead in one's relationship and fully turns one's attention back to Krishna, problem solved. Otherwise, it's all a temporary fix. One will fall from whatever position one has imagined. So there's a progressive path which leads to the pinnacle called bhakti yoga. But even as one takes to the process of bhakti, Haridas Thakur identifies various obstacles. And we see here three of them that he has named. So there's asat trishna, which means a taste for impermanent sense objects in this material world. And even if one knows they're impermanent, still there may be a taste for them. In other words, you may know it's not conducive to your spiritual life, but you may still have a taste for it. So that's an obstacle. This is called the mist, or the clouds, that cover our ability to experience the pure name of Krishna. And then we have Hridaya Dorbalya, which means the weakness of heart. Hridaya means heart, and Dorbalya means there's this weakness, through which, although I want to move ahead in spiritual life, somehow there's an unwillingness or a fear to move ahead, and I can't quite move myself on the path of devotional service. And then finally we have nama paradha. This is another kind of mist or clouds which block my pure chanting of the name, Hare Krishna. And this is, aparadhas come in the form of offending the name, and there are 10 main offenses to chanting the holy name of the Lord. And then there are seva aparadhas, or aparadhas that I might make in the process of worshiping the deity. And then there's Vaishnava aparadha. Yadi Vaishnava aparadha uti hati mata upari vachindetar shuki yayapata. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, when the gardener puts the creeper, the seed, plants the seed of devotional service, and it grows into a little plant, you have to be careful, because if an elephant comes into the garden and starts walking around, he doesn't even have to thrash, he just has to walk around, he'll squash that little creeper and break it. Hare Krishna. Welcome back. And so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, hearing from Haridas Thakur, heard about all these different ways that in which we become covered, our ability to appreciate the holy name is covered by these three main clouds or sources of mist. So asat trishna, hridaya darbalya, and nama parada. And we have operators standing by to take your call at 650-245-7018. If you have a text or a question or a comment that you want to make, you can text it in right now. And also, at this point, we're going to take some reflections. Something that you heard, we have one on that just came in the text. Okay, go ahead.
So this is Pratibha Mataji from Sacramento.
Pratibha, Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for emphasis on urgency in spiritual life, that we have incremental progress to make in very little time, which ties so well to your point made before to discipline the mind. Dandavat pranam.
Nice. Nice. Before we get into clearing these mists, these clouds, because we're going to clear them away and see what's behind it. Don't you want to know what's behind the mist? You got another one, another text, okay?
So this is from Sudeep Prabhu from Sacramento.
Sudeep, Hare Krishna.
Originally from Sacramento. He says, Hare Krishna Prabhuji, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. So when we distribute books, we should always make them say Mahamantra so they get the Sukriti?
Correct. Yeah, not only they get it, you get it too. It spills out to everyone. I always notice that when you take some time to teach people the Mahamantra after they buy a book, that not only they hear it, but you hear it, and you experience it anew for the first time because you're teaching it to them and you're relishing that somebody new is saying it. And there's a lot that goes into thinking about the holy name when you say that. And I notice that, especially when you're in a crowded area, like over the weekend, we were in downtown Denver and also in Boulder, Colorado, and I'd be teaching a group, you know, like maybe three people bought a book, they're learning the Mahamantra, and people are walking by and they're listening. What's going on in there? They hear Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. And they hear the holy name, so everyone gets benefit. So take the time to teach people the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. That was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's program. Gandharvika, did you have a point?
So you mentioned that when one is determined and focused, that he can have the impact in the whole world. But sometimes, how do we determine that the determination is determined, or how do we say that one person has determination? Is it about the intense impact that he has, or how do we measure?
Just think about it for yourself. Think about it, the determination yourself. When you have determination, you can follow your plan. That's the most important point. Because if you have some inkling for spiritual life and you're moving ahead and you have a plan how you're going to do it, but you can't follow it, that's very frustrating. You don't have determination. You keep thinking, I should do this, but you can't do it. So Krishna says, Yesham tvantakatam papam jananam punyakarmanam te tvanva mohanir mukta bachantimam dridavrta. You have to, the reactions of your sinful activities have to be diminished and your sukriti has to be really strong. And then you can come to this point of determination and you'll know it. As Shastra says, tada rajas tamo bhava kama lobadayasche cheta iteranavinam stitam satve prasidasi evam prasanna manaso bhagavad bhakti yogata bhagavat tattva vijnanam mukta sanga sijayate. There's a way in which the soul is experiencing that, oh, I know now, I know who I am, I know what my real identity is and what my duty is in life to serve Krishna, and I can do it, and becomes fortified by Bhakti Shuta Grihitaya. The bhakta becomes fortified with jnana and vairagya and is able to carry out his plan. Then you'll know you're determined. Yes. Of course, there's a case for, you know, saying that even though you can't fully carry out your plan yet, you keep getting up and trying. Even though you may fall short and beg for another shot at redemption the next day. It's a good prayer. Krishna, please give me another shot tomorrow. You should be trying every day for another shot at it. If you didn't quite make it today, at least sincerely, you know, on taking rest that night, say, Krishna, please, let me try again tomorrow. I'll try to rectify it and make it better. A little bit better every time.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna
Himanshu. I have a question regarding the Nectar of Instruction verse 7, which you said that when one has jaundice, he is unable to taste the sweetness,
yes,
of the sugar candy. And gradually as the jaundice is getting reduced, he can relish small sweet taste. I want to ask the question in the analogy of the holy names. Holy name is very merciful, so can we get the small sweetness even before, when, you know, we haven't gotten purified, just to get a small jolt towards being determined? Or
yeah, that usually happens. There's a what I call a free sample. And I remember in Chicago, when I used to distribute books on the street there, there was a candy company, and when they come out with a new candy bar, it was wrapped in the wrapper with the logo, but it would be about that big. And I'd see people lined it up for two blocks to get a sample, and there was this lady with the box that would come around her shoulders, and it would hold there, and she'd give them all out. And then people say, give me another one. She'd say, uh-uh, go buy it now. So Krishna does that too. He'll give a free sample. A good example is Narada Muni. When he was a child, he had lost his mother, he had lost his home, but he had this sukriti and determination to take spiritual life. So he went off and was experiencing the Lord's creation. He sat down in a lonely forest, he was meditating, and he experienced the highest bliss. And each one of his senses was individually stimulated for service to the Lord. And he was actually, you know, floating in that Anandan Buddhi Vardhanam. And then he came back into the world of time and into his senses and so forth. And he was in great agony because he had tasted that once. And then Krishna spoke to him in an unembodied voice and said, "What you've experienced here, you can't get it back mechanically. You're not perfect yet. You'll have to work for it." And he did throughout his life. So we may get that free sample. And that taste might not even come until you leave your body. You should be that determined that whatever it takes, I'm going to go on with the process of chanting Hare Krishna. Yeah.
When you were mentioning about free sample, I just thought about that in Journey Home book, Maharaj mentions, His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj mentions about an episode, he was going in Delhi, somebody caught him and removed the wax from ear. So then for the next wax, he was asking for paisa, 50 paisa or something, 5 rupees. And so Maharaj tells like...
So he did one ear for like 5 paisa and the other one for 5 rupees?
So he has to pay for the other.
For free, I see.
He just grabbed him before Maharaj could realize. He just puts his thing in the ear and then pulled the wax out. And Maharaj said, "I could hear very clearly in this ear, but the other ear was like kind of not very clear." And when he said, "Do the other ear," he said, "Give me money."
Uh huh. Yeah, there it is. Nice. Okay, so we have this Asat Trishna, and the taste for temporary things in the material worlds. Those are things are asat. And Krishna warns us about it in the Bhagavad Gita, Yehi samsparshajab bhoga dukayo naya evate adyantavanta konteya nati shuramate buddha. He says that an intelligent person doesn't go for these things, these temporary things, experiences in the material world, because they have a beginning and an end. And they're actually the cause of misery in the material world by accepting things which are temporary. And Ramante Yogano Anante Satchidanda Yadatmani Iti Rama Padenasu Param Brahma Badiyate, that the yogi who's experiencing the highest pleasure from within is constantly relishing that, and that's why Krishna's name is Rama, the highest pleasure. So how to get free from this Asat Trishna? We're looking for Shastra or your realizations. Asat Trishna, temporary things or a realization you've had, experience. Pooja, go right ahead.
The shloka vishaya vinivartante niraharasya dehina rasavajyam rasopyasya param drishtva nivartate, that when you have a higher taste, then you give up I don't remember the exact translation, but when you get a higher taste, the lower taste, it goes away.
And in the beginning, you may be restraining yourself from engaging the senses in the lower kind of sense gratification. But when you get a higher taste, then it's no matter, there's no more restraint. You just give up the lower taste, right? So Pooja is giving us the solution to the Asat Trishna, which is one has to get a higher taste. Shri Kumar?
Prabhuji, on 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna is talking about the reflection of the spiritual world and the material world in the tree, the banyan tree with its roots upwards. So there, Prabhupada, he mentions that we have to cut down this temporary illusion by knowledge and determination.
So knowledge and determination.
Yes.
Nice. And in another place, Prabhupada makes a big point of knowledge and practice. He says, by these two things, knowledge and practice, one can overcome any kind of situation.
Like in Srimad Bhagavatam 11th canto, this is Kavi Yogendra instructing to King Nimi. It says, Bhakti Paresanu Bhava Virakti Anyatra Chesha Trika Ek Kala Papadya Manasya Yatha Ashnatsu Tushti Pushti Shudapayo Anugrasam. I'll just read translation. Devotion, direct experience of the Supreme Lord, and detachment from other things, these three occur simultaneously for one who has taken shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the same way, the pleasure, nourishment, and relief from the hunger come simultaneously and increasingly with each bite for a person engaged in eating. So the analogy is given a person who's eating the bite of the food. The hunger is, one is getting free from hunger, one is getting nourishment and pleasure. Similarly, when one is practicing devotional service onto the Supreme Lord, one is having devotion, direct experience of the Lord, and detachment from material things.
So, how about some realizations? Nice quotation. Because this indicates by taking the process of devotional service, then concomitantly we get these, we get taste. And we get free from a satrishna, or we're full. Sukeshri.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Prabhuji, what Pooja was mentioning, how do we, I mean, when we chant, there are times that I feel very, very nice, but there are times that I'm not able to do the same. So how do we maintain that? You know, like, how do we maintain this understanding that our eternal service is just please Krishna? There are times when it's easy to do it, there are times it's hard to do it. So how do we maintain that vigor to always do it?
Haridas Thakur says that you have to hear some bandhagyan regularly while you're chanting. The two things go together. There's the process of chanting, and then there's also hearing some bandhagyan. Some bandhagyan means you're hearing every day from a self-realized person who's explaining that you don't belong to this material world, you're not your body, you belong to Krishna, what is your relationship with Krishna, and so forth. That has a powerful effect. And when we hear that regularly, and then we chant, we'll be able to adhere to the process. And there will be ups and downs in the beginning, but as we continue, they'll become less and less, and more taste. And the other point is that you have to beg. You actually have to ask for it. Bhaktivinoda Thakur recommends this in his song, Jeev Jago. And he says that Harina Mahamantra Lao Tumi Magi. That Magi means to beg. You have to really, really beg for it. In fact, this is the main prerequisite for advancing in spiritual life, is you have to really want it. It's actually the prerequisite for anything. If you want to do something badly enough, then you'll figure out a way to do it. Where there's a will, there's a way. I mentioned, I saw this sign once there was a company called Weight Watchers, and I saw a big banner in their Weight Watchers studio that said, you gotta wanna. That was their main banner, you gotta wanna. And if you really wanna, then you'll figure out a way to do it. And you'll beg for it. Please, let me have this.
Thank you.
And you can develop that desire by hearing and by association. Lavanya.
Krishna Guru Maharaj. I was thinking about how from the time I started my Krishna consciousness to the point I am at now, and you know, I still feel that pull once in a while. Not that I go get the movies and sit down, but I have people in my house who still have the attraction. So I walk by and something's playing, and I find myself, without realizing it, I'm sitting down and watching the story. I'm like, so what's coming up next? But I noticed that I sit through it. But at the end of it, when I get up, I can't taste it the way I used to. But you know, the story doesn't hang on to you as much. So in a sense, even with food, all our regulative principles that we try to learn, in the beginning, they're very strong. And then after a point, it's just the habit that repeats itself. You've trained yourself over the years to constantly do something, and your body and mind, when you're not conscious, when you're not strong enough, falls into the same trap. But somehow, over time, the sadhana that we put in, and Krishna's mercy, as she said, the taste slowly goes away. But we still keep going back to peck at that mango, even if it's tasteless. But I could see that it's slowly becoming tasteless. But I just wonder why I keep pecking.
It's, as Prabhupada explained, due to habit. Over millions of lifetimes of pecking away at the material world, one has this muscle memory. And it takes some time to actually reverse that. But as you say, it is noticeable how one loses the taste for material things. And even the senses are still going, I'll look at that. But then there's a disconnect also. In the verse, Jayato Vishayan Pum Sansangas Teshu Bajayate, where Krishna says that when one contemplates the object of the senses, that you develop attachment for it. And the devotee who's engaged in hearing Sambandha Gyan and chanting Hare Krishna has this Gyan and Vairagya, detachment and knowledge. So even if you see these things, there's a way you process it differently than you ever did before. You might see, like on the airplane, you get on the airplane and now all they have is like a million TV screens going. It's really bothersome. And there's movies going in every direction. And, you know, sometimes I look at them and I go, that's weird, you know. They're you know, grown men running around shooting at each other and things like that. And it's kind of, it sort of starts to look a little ludicrous, but it's still the mind, the eyes will still go, what is that? What just happened? Come on, look at that. You know, so, but we, because of cultivation of devotional service, we don't interact with the world the way we did before. Apuryamanam achala pratishtam Krishna taksam samudramapa pravishanti yadva tavat kamayam pravishanti sarve sashantamapnoti nakamagami. The desires are entering like rivers enter to the ocean, but the ocean doesn't become disturbed. It doesn't overflow its banks. And similarly, the desires are still there. They're still in the mental system, but we don't become disturbed by them because we have a different point of reference.
There was another question I wanted to ask that is slightly different from this. When we speak of association, we want to seek the association. You've told us many times that even you pray for good association. Association, even among devotees or anywhere, we need to remember that we want association that attracts us to Krishna. We stick to the topics that fall into Sambandha Gyan rather than, you know, I was thinking about that because I was forced to have a lot of association for my children. I was out the whole week. And while I was communicating and talking to them, the thought came about who is my sakha, who is my bandhu, and what am I doing here? And at the same time, the process of thinking kept going, and I was thinking, well, if I say that devotees are my bandhus, even in that I have to be very careful because, you know, I sometimes find myself not really talking about Krishna. Could you explain that concept of association in connection to actually the purpose of association?
Well, the best kind of association is hearing and chanting. Guhyam akyati prichati, when you can actually come together and hear and chant. When Srivas Pandit comes in my house, we hear and chant. We don't have anything else to do. We can talk about how things are going and different kinds of service. That's another thing. But generally, we like to hear and chant. We'll talk about the upcoming Bhakti Vaibhav test, and you know, we'll go over the Srimad Bhagavatam, and that's really nice if you can center your association around hearing and chanting. It doesn't have to be that 24 hours a day, but there should be a center of that. That should be the main core of it. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates, they would do all kinds of devotional activities together as well. Sometimes they had a mango eating festival that went on for a year. I mean, by Mahaprabhu's mystic power, he created a mango tree that brought out these mangoes with no skin and no seed, and one mango would fill a man's belly. And every day they'd just come there and they'd have this enjoyable pastime with Mahaprabhu of eating these mangoes. And other times they dressed up as cowherd boys and they played, you know, like Krishna and Balaram would in the forest. Sometimes they'd go in the water and they'd splash and they'd have these fights in the water. And Nityananda and Advaitacharya were fighting with each other. Nityananda splashed water in the eyes of Advaitacharya and he'd start cursing Nityananda. And there was a lot of fun. I mean, the devotees were constantly in festival mode, and then they would hear and chant together, and then they'd go take prasadam. All these activities are mentioned in the Nectar of Instruction as Dadati Pratigrinati Kuyamakyati Prachiti Bhunkte Bhojayate Chaiva Shad Vidam Pratilakshanam. It's very enjoyable to go to somebody's house for prasadam. Or just have prasadam with your friends. At a festival, isn't it? You have a festival, you fast all day long, and then, you know, you're chanting and chanting, and then you get to sit down and just, you know, talk about what happened that day and what was the most beautiful. Some of the times, you know, when I go someplace, like, and I spend several intensive days with the devotees, when Nirkul and I come home, and just say, what were the highlights? And she'll remember what the highlights, I'll remember the highlights, or if I'm with the devotees there over the weekend, you know, on the last day, we'll say, what were the highlights so far? We'll talk about these things. There's so many enjoyable things to talk about and discourse about in devotional service. And then if you come together on a regular basis and hear from some shastra together, then you have that point of reference. You're talking about, you follow a thread. I talk to Keshav Bharti Maharaj almost every night, night or morning, whenever, it depends where he is in the world and the time difference. But always we have some thread going. And there's something we're working on and talking about to, thoroughly threadbare. It goes on all year long. And then when we come to Govardhan, we sit down in that room and just, you know, like, that's such a relishable thing to have that time. Take out some time where that's all you do all day. But I realize, I mean, 5 hours, it doesn't sound like much out of a day to hear it just straight here and chant. Or maybe it does, I don't know. But then you're thinking about, what about all the other hours? It made me realize that, you know, of course, most of it is Mangal Artik and then chanting your rounds and doing your three Gayatris, and then you have to take a few baths every day. And then, you know, you have to eat, generally. And, you know, exercise and all that kind of stuff. You have to fill up your day, as Rupa Goswami says, arrange your schedule so that you're locked into all these really nice activities. That's your orbit. That's the real way to make advancement in devotional service. Make sure your orbit is correct. You're orbiting around all these things as much as possible. And if you're not there, keep praying for it. Develop a house on fire desire. Sometimes, like the gopis, some of them couldn't get out to meet with Krishna in the forest. They were restrained. And because they were restrained, they burned off their last vestiges of any attachment to the material world. Some of the Munichari gopis, this is described in the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. There are various kinds of associates Krishna had when he appeared in the world, and some of them were eternal associates, other ones were just appearing in Krishna's lila, and some of them had some more to do. And there's certain circumstances where they were held back from joining Krishna, where they were that actually they attain perfection in that time. So if you're being held back or you're in association, they say, this is not my orbit, you can have such an intense desire to be in that orbit that you'll actually become purified. And sometimes better, sometimes you see people that have full facility for devotional service and they squander it because their mind is somewhere else. I've seen, you know, in a brahmachari ashram or something like that, you've got all day to just serve Krishna. What more do you want? And they're thinking, I need a green card, you know, or whatever it is. It could be anything, but it's like you're not there yet. Or you could be a householder in the worst situation in the world and be pining for association with Krishna, and that's going to burn off the, you know, whatever connection you have to the material world, and Krishna will fulfill your heart's desire in any situation. Pure bhakti can't be blocked.
Yeah, I have a question in this. Like, I was thinking about Asat Krishna. We need a higher taste to nicely go on our devotion service. But when there is like pride or ego or offenses, especially, it immediately lose the taste of devotion service. At least the practice continues, but we cannot longer have the same taste. So that happens in the chanting also. When we're chanting and if we think like now rounds are going very good, immediately there is some change. like we lose it, and we had to go to humble. And when you were mentioning about the gopis, even there were different levels, and they got purified and associated with Krishna. But we see in that, in that most exalted level, we see like Krishna left them when there was some pride or like that we are special, something like that. So how to be saved from these like offenses or ego or pride to creep in?
Two things: be very humble and be very careful. So, and especially Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Durdaiva midrishami hajani nadraga. Nanuragaha. I can't get this anurag going because of being unfortunate. And then the next thing he says is, be humble. This is the recourse. And in fact, he says in the 13th chapter of the Gita, Amani Vama Dambi Vama Himsa Shantirajam. He starts with humility, pridelessness. And in the 15th chapter of the Gita, by the way, at the end of the Gita, 15th chapter, in the purport, Prabhupada says one has to overcome this weakness of heart. And then he says, Krishna tells how to do it in the first several verses of the 15th chapter. So I looked in there, where is it? And then one of the verses, Nirmana Moha Jita Sangha Dosha Adhyatma Nitya Vinivritti Kama Dvanverva Mukta Sukaduka Samjar Gachantya Mura Paramavya Yamtat. First line, Nirmana Moha, Nirman. Be a Nirman. Don't exhibit false pride. This is a real place where you get the most mileage in spiritual life. I hate that expression, but anyway, this is a foundational principle to make advancement in spiritual life. It's a jewel. It's a gem. This idea of trinadapi sunichena. I can pass over it so easily and just say, yeah, humility, right? I got that thing down. I'm so humble. You know, I'm more humble than anybody. But if I actually practice it, if I apply it in my life, and Kaviraj Goswami says you should wear it around your neck, like put it on a garland and wear it. Four jewels you can put on the necklace. Completely humble, utterly humble. And then the next one is be completely tolerant. And this is so nice, this instruction that Mahaprabhu gives, practice tolerance like a tree. Now, you have unlimited opportunities to practice tolerance. Right? Yes. Or is it just me? Always something to tolerate. I mean, when somebody dies in your family, you really have to tolerate. It's heartbreaking. Even when you're a devotee, it just, your heart becomes heavy. What can you do? Nothing. You can't do anything about it except tolerate. When you lose something that was valuable, what do you do? I lost my wedding ring in Tokyo a long time ago. And I remember it was disturbing me a lot. I'd been playing, it was Harinam downtown, and so I took it off and I put it in my pocket. I tried to put it back on, but my hand was already swollen because I'd been playing the drum for so long. So I put it on one of the smaller fingers, walking through the streets of Tokyo. If you want to lose something, Tokyo's the place. That's the biggest city in the world, practically. And it was just gone. I mean, there was no conception. And for my mind was going, where is it? I want it back. And I couldn't get it. So I just had to tolerate. There's so many things you have to tolerate. And so when you do, it's an essential practice that will help you in every single way to the very core of your practice in devotional service. And then giving respect to others, that means seeing them in relationship to Krishna and honoring them as parts and parcels of Krishna, and every being is amazing. And then don't expect anything for yourself. Don't expect any respect back from other people. Practice that. So these four things, that puts us in the proper state of consciousness in order to advance in devotional service. But we better clear these clouds. We have some ideas here. Is anybody cold? Or your right temperature? Well, okay. I'd mentioned this before, but you have to develop a house on fire desire. House on fire desire. It means when your house is burning down and you don't speak the local language, you'll be able to communicate it because you have a need. So you have to have a burning need to advance in devotional life. Develop that house on fire desire. Get it whatever way you can. Associate with people who have it. Do it. Because where there's a will, there's a way. Associate with devotees who have strong faith. And remember, your abilities will grow to meet your strong desire. If you have that strong desire, you'll advance. And then discipline is a key word. Discipline is so powerful. We have the ability and the responsibility to discipline ourselves. Nobody else can discipline you unless you want to be disciplined. So discipline means a conscious control over your lifestyle. Take that to the bank. It comes from the root word learner. And remember that correct practice makes perfect. Each discipline affects all the other disciplines in your life. And then attitude. Prabhupada mentions that attitude is the quintessential element that helps us to advance in devotional service. He mentions that in the Nectar of Instruction preface. So we should think that nothing will change until I do, and that failure is the pillar to success. Don't be upset with the instrument of your karma. Don't blame others. Stay hungry and humble. And I'm adding careful. Be an instrument. Let Krishna be the doer. Don't major in minor things. That comes from Anthony Robbins. Practice should be regular. Very important. Regular. Do the same things every day or a little more. Attentive. And wherever your intention is, that's where your attention will go. Intention leads to attention. So you have to develop. Both of them have the word ten, which means to connect. And your practice should be goal-oriented because you have to have something to shoot for. Sankhyan purvakana magana natibi kalavasani krito. Count how much you're doing and make sure that you're doing this, you're hitting your marks. Hit your marks. And your sadhana, your practice should be according to your personal capacity. And then keep the vibration going because remember, at every second we need shelter and help. And remember, Krishna is non-different from his name and that difficult things become easy when you remember Lord Chaitanya. And for overcoming weakness of heart, voluntary life changes, these are the VLCs, which means that only you can change. So you have to take what you can voluntarily. You can go kicking and screaming, but it's not very pretty. Krishna will drag you back to Godhead. But why not just volunteer? And then inspirational sadhana. It means every day get something. Plan for it. Plan to get something. Don't go through it haphazardly. Don't go through it in a lackadaisical way, but actually plan and pray that I get something today, at least a mustard seed worth of inspiration for my sadhana. Please give me at least that. Something. Krishna, please give me something. And then have gratitude for whatever you do have now, because you get more and more, but if you don't appreciate it, it'll slip through your fingers. And remember, whatever you appreciate, appreciates. And don't harbor material motives, or grudges for that matter. Don't harbor material motives. It's like harboring a fugitive. It's illegal. If you harbor a fugitive in your house, who just robbed a bank, you say, come on in, you can stay here for a little while. You're going to jail. And if a cobra comes in your house one day, don't think it's no big deal. He's just behind the couch. He'll come out at the wrong time and you'll be in trouble. So material desires, they're like that. Make sure they're out of the house. Pick up every couch. Move the refrigerator if you have to. Make sure the cobra's out. And don't let fugitives in the first place. So let's see if we did any damage. Here it goes. We've got, you can read them out as they come up. Then? And at the point of Shraddhanamabhas, we find that these clouds start to float away by themselves because the holy name is so powerful it burns off. Kechit Kevalaya Bhaktya Vasudeva Parayana Agam dunvanti kartsneya ihara iva bhaskara. Bhaskara comes out, the sun comes up, and let's hear a cheer out there. There's the bhakta. He's free from all kinds of anartas, all kinds of asatrishna, no longer faked out by the material world. And he has the weakness of heart. It's such when you see a spiritual hero, no more weakness of heart. They're actually brave. They've got the courage to move ahead in spiritual life. They're not taking no for an answer. That's beautiful. And then you've got Krishna Prema, and what happens then? Where's the jiva? There he goes. Yay! And there you are, back in the spiritual world. We'd like to give special thanks to the hard work of Shraddha Devi Dasi. This is her magic, the way she puts these things together. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we've heard that there's a progression in spiritual life. There are ways in which we can responsibly and with our own volition remove these clouds of ignorance. At least by our effort, Krishna will see that we're trying and he'll come and help us. And then we can gradually come to the highest stage of perfection in chanting the holy names. And by that, we will go back home, back to Godhead. So continue on in all circumstances. Never give up the chanting. And take full advantage of all the Shastra and all the good association. Gaur Premanande Ari Arivo. Nacharyar Marman. Nacharyar Marman. Nacharyar Marman. Nacharyar Marman. Hey! Nacharyar Marman. Nacharyar Marman. Nacharyar Marman. Nacharyar Marman.